A diagnosis of breast cancer can cause a life-changing ripple effect of impact affecting those we love the most and those upon whom we lean for comfort and strength in the most challenging of times. My name is Aisling Hurley. I'm the CEO of Breast Cancer Ireland, and you're listening to More Than a Lump, a podcast that talks openly and honestly to a selection of guests about their very personal connections to breast cancer, be it through their career choice, their own first-hand experience of the disease, or through sharing the experience of close family members. My conversations will centre on how breast cancer has informed their perspective on life, love, family, health, their goals, and indeed aspirations. Although each story is utterly unique, the one common thread that runs through each one is that breast cancer is more than a lump. This episode of More Than a Lump is proudly supported by Care Plus Pharmacy. Care Plus is Ireland's leading community pharmacy brand, offering expert advice and services for a healthier and happier you. You can find your nearest Care Plus on careplus.ie or follow them on social media for daily health and wellness tips. The menopause is an issue that affects women at some point in their lives. For many in our community, the treatment for breast cancer can plunge them into an early menopause. For others, the menopause can mask the signs of breast cancer. In today's episode, I'm joined by Dr. Genevieve Ferraris, a menopause specialist who works at the Menopause Hub, a recognised centre of excellence for all things menopause, educating, empathising with and empowering women to navigate through this time of their lives. Dr. Ferraris is accredited by the North American Menopause Society, a member of the British Menopause Society, and she's also seen thousands of menopausal patients. She's also a passionate advocate for menopause education and awareness in the workplace, helping organisations better support women going through this transition. In this episode, we'll be discussing a range of topics related to menopause, including how women can be forced into an early menopause and what that means for them. We'll also talk about how menopause can sometimes make it harder for women to spot the signs of breast cancer and the latest research on HRT and breast cancer risk. I'll be sharing stories of women I've met who have experienced early menopause and how it has indeed impacted their lives. So let's dive right into this. Dr. Ferraris, you're very welcome and thank you for joining me today.
Thank you, Aisling. Thanks for having me.
First off, I know our listeners would be very keen, based on your accent, as to learn a little bit more about where you're from and how you came into this world of menopause experience.
Of course. So I trained in South Africa. I did my undergrad studies there, training as well, and then I worked in emergency departments for a couple of years, and then I worked as a GP. Mm. And I loved the GP work. I loved being able to connect with patients, form relationships, and I found a particular kind of, I was particularly drawn to women's health. Mm. And then during the pandemic, it was a good time to reevaluate what I wanted to do with my life, what I wanted, you know, where we wanted to go. And my husband and I decided that we'd like to travel a bit more, live in a different part of the world, and then the opportunity to move to Ireland came up, and particularly the opportunity to work at the Menopause Hub. So prior to working here, I hadn't actually had that much menopause specific experience. So I thought it would be a great opportunity for me to learn more about it. And I love it. It's incredibly rewarding. You get to see a whole mix of patients here, a lot of different women's stories, and you really get to feel that you're making a big difference in improving their symptoms.
Fantastic. I suppose the basic question, what exactly is the menopause and how does it affect women's bodies and their overall health?
So the definition of menopause is the cessation of periods for 12 months or more. So you stop ovulating, you stop having periods. With that, there's a decline in estrogen, and with the change in estrogen, you get symptoms. Prior to the loss of your periods, women would go through perimenopause, which typically happens at about age 45. So that's when ovulation starts to become erratic. We see changes in periods. They might start to become shorter or longer, heavier. And again, women start to experience symptoms around that time. And we would expect periods to then stop at around 51.
Okay.
In terms of how it affects women's bodies, it can be a wide range of symptoms. So what we think of as menopause is being no periods and hot flushes. It's actually a lot more complex than that. So what I often see in the initial stages is periods start to change, women start to experience some kind of mood symptoms, so irritability or low mood, anxiety, things like that, and changes in sleep. So those are common things that I see initially. And then it, you know, can progress, because as it's a transition through from perimenopause to menopause, there are ongoing hormonal changes and so ongoing symptoms.
Yeah, yeah. And I suppose women can be forced into an early menopause, and it's important to understand the potential causes and risk factors. Can you shed any light on this?
So early menopause can be caused by a variety of things. So it could be due to surgery. So if a woman had a surgical hysterectomy with an oophorectomy, she may be going to a surgical menopause. She may go into a chemical menopause, which would be drug-induced through various medications, including some breast cancer treatments. Mm-hmm. Through things like radiotherapy and chemotherapy as well, their periods may stop. And then they may also have kind of autoimmune disorders or genetic things that could put them into an early menopause as well. Okay. What's important in younger patients, so women who go into menopause below the age of 45, they have a higher risk of osteoporosis and cardiovascular disease as they get older. Oh. So we really have to consider the impact that estrogen will have on those women's longevity as they get older.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And talk to me about HRT, because I suppose lots and lots of women, HRT really is the answer. It's the lifesaver for, you know, when estrogen levels go much lower, is to replace that the hormone and try and keep you on that even keel. And yet I know, and you know, that, you know, medically there is no real risk in taking HRT in breast cancer. That correlation is not medically proven. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Of course. So HRT is hormone replacement therapy, as you said. And so with the change in estrogen, by replacing the estrogen, we're managing the symptoms. Mm-hmm. For a lot of women, they hear HRT and they think, oh, but won't that cause breast cancer? Mm-hmm. So even though the initial study which showed the link has subsequently been disproven, and there have been a huge number of conversations around it, for a lot of women, they still have that concern in the back mm-hmm. of their minds. Mm-hmm. For many women, the benefits of HRT would far outweigh the very small increased risk of breast cancer with use. Mm-hmm. So at the moment, if we look at data for women in the UK between the ages of 50 and 59, they have a baseline risk of developing breast cancer as 23 per thousand. And if we add breast cancer, that risk increases to 27 per thousand. Mm-hmm. So there's a 4 per thousand increased risk, which is okay. A very, very small increased risk. Mm-hmm. And for many women, the benefits that they get from HRT in terms of symptom relief and bone protection long-term would outweigh that very small risk.
Oh, wow. Okay, that's very interesting. So even so from an osteoporosis point of view, you know, taking the HRT helps the bones or maintains the bones as well as maintaining the hormones within the body.
Absolutely.
Keeping you on an even keel. Yeah. And then I suppose we look at, like, and I suppose from my perspective with Breast Cancer Ireland and our breast cancer patients, you know, some of those who have been diagnosed quite young, and they would be in their 20s and early 30s, with a particular subtype, which is like triple negative breast cancer, for instance, where the treatment is the age old of, you know, surgery, chemotherapy and radiation therapy. Unfortunately, at this point, now we are investing hugely from our perspective in that whole area to try and come up with more effective drug therapies to treat them as opposed to chemo, because chemo is that unfortunate toxin that, you know, does damage fertility. It does damage the organs. While it does kill the cancer, it does damage the good organs. So I suppose for them, that is a really hard path to travel. Not only have they got a diagnosis of breast cancer, they also have to deal with fertility and go and freeze eggs and go on some course to maintain their egg fertility post-treatment. Mm. But they're also plunged into menopause.
Yeah, exactly. So they're dealing with three things at once in terms of cancer, loss of fertility and menopause symptoms.
Yeah.
And it's a lot for anyone to deal with, but I think especially as a younger patient.
Mm-hmm. And in your experience, when you have younger patients like that, what is your advice? Like, is your advice, you know, yes, go down your treatment route, obviously, that you've been prescribed by your team, potentially look at whatever fertility after that. Do you advise on HRT or other treatments to help them get through that early menopausal stage? And indeed, can they reverse it?
So it depends. If the medication that they're taking is inducing menopausal symptoms, then theoretically the cessation of that medication will reverse the symptoms.
Yeah.
Because something like tamoxifen can give you menopausal symptoms.
Okay.
However, if your symptoms are as a result of reduced ovarian function because of something like chemotherapy, it's unlikely that you would regain that function.
Yeah.
And so that's actually a really complex patient, because She's young and we know she needs estrogen for her bone health, but if we give her estrogen in the setting of breast cancer, it could make that issue worse.
It's absolutely.
So typically those patients would need to complete their breast cancer therapy, get the all clear from that perspective, and then we need to have a discussion with their breast surgeon and their oncologist and find out how do we manage this patient going forward so that we're not increasing her breast cancer recurrence, but we're also not putting her at an excess risk of things like osteoporosis and cardiovascular disease.
Yeah, absolutely. And I suppose, like most things, the HRT treatment has advanced over the years. You know, I'm sure like 30 years ago, I remember my mum went on HRT and she soon came back off it because it didn't agree. But I'm sure that things have moved on. We've made huge advances in so many other ways that I'm sure HRT has become much more tolerable.
Yeah, absolutely. So 20 years ago, the treatment that was offered to most women was conjugated equine estrogen. So that comes from horses. And for a lot of women, that would not be an option at this point.
Okay.
So the way that estrogen is delivered now for most women is what we call bioidentical HRT. So that means that it's a molecule which is derived from plants. It has a chemical structure which is very similar and, in fact, almost identical to our own natural hormones. So it's better tolerated. It has a better side effect profile and seems to have a better long-term safety risk as well.
Okay.
Safety profile.
Very interesting. Very interesting. Mm. And Genevieve, tell me, how long should people, should women stay on HRT? I remember having a conversation about 5-7 years ago and hearing, you know, well, 5 years is probably enough. Whereas now I'm not sure. Maybe people can stay on it a lot longer.
Yeah, exactly. So again, it depends on the patient. So 5 years might be enough for her. She might be through her menopause by after 5 years. No longer have symptoms, and so there's no longer need for her to take HRT. But for some women, unfortunately, they remain symptomatic for many years beyond the what's considered the 5 to 7 year average of menopausal symptoms. So because the main aim of HRT is to improve the symptoms, if we're stopping it and a patient becomes symptomatic again, we're not really treating her problem. A woman should be on it for as long as she needs to be on it.
Okay. And I suppose, how does the woman know when she's had enough taken or when she should continue to take it?
So we don't really know. We go on the average of, okay, it's been 5 to 7 years of being on HRT. Theoretically, you should be through your menopause. Why don't we wean you off a little bit and see how you feel? And say we reduce the dose of her estrogen and symptoms come back, we know she's definitely not ready to come off.
Okay.
Whereas maybe we wean, she's not getting hot flushes. Okay, let's stop it. Let's see how you feel. And if she feels great and symptoms don't come back, she can then stay off it.
Mm-hmm. And then I suppose if you have cases of, where I've heard of women who have been perimenopausal in their late 30s, and then the cycle generally is into your 60s or 65, would they stay on HRT all of that length of time, or is it just that it is, and it's titrated accordingly, or how does that work?
Yeah, so she could then stay on it from her mid to late 30s until her mid to late 60s if that's what she needed. Obviously, she would need to be checking in regularly with her prescriber, seeing how she feels on her current regime, because what we start her on in her 30s will probably not be the same as what she's on through her 40s, 50s and 60s.
Yes,
so it changes based on how she's feeling, what her symptoms are, if she's getting any side effects, if there are any new health issues that arise during that time, and we adjust as we need to.
Okay, very interesting. And Genevieve, I suppose for lots of women out there, we know the signs of hot flushes, irritability. You know, I suppose 9 times out of 10 when you're due your period anyway, you're going to be irritable. But what are the kind of triggers that women should be aware of that would make them sort of think, oh, you know, maybe I am actually perimenopausal, or maybe I am going through the menopause. Maybe I should go and talk to somebody.
So we know that there are over 40 symptoms of menopause.
Oh.
So it's quite broad. Women often say to me that they notice a change in themselves. So they feel not like themselves anymore. So whether that's physical symptoms, like they're more achy, or they've got headaches, or they've got the hot flushes, or vaginal dryness, bladder issues, or whether it's psychological, like really irritable and get angry at the kids, or they don't want to go out and see their friends anymore, or they feel flat for no reason and they cry for no reason. If they can't figure out, if they're from their early 40s, they're having symptoms, they're not feeling like themselves and they can't figure out why, It can be helpful to go through a menopause symptom checker. We have one on our website, which can be a great way for you to see, oh, actually, I'm ticking a lot of these boxes of the 40 symptoms, or only one or two, maybe this is not something I need to be concerned about. And then go with a symptom checker to your healthcare provider, whether that's your GP or you're seeing a menopause doctor, and say, this is what I'm feeling, what can we do about it?
Mm-hmm. And when they do come to you, is it more, again, a checklist, or is there a blood test, or how do you pinpoint, or is there a mechanic to pinpoint where they are on that scale?
So in women who are still menstruating, it can be really difficult to know, are they in perimenopause or not? Because their cycle changes so frequently, they may have come in, be very symptomatic, and have completely normal blood tests, depending on where they are in their cycle. Or perhaps a month before, they missed an ovulation, and we've got a slightly abnormal blood result.
Okay.
So for women between the ages of 45 and 50, if they are symptomatic, we shouldn't be using blood tests to diagnose it, because blood tests are generally inaccurate.
Okay.
For women who are menopausal, so periods have stopped, we can do a blood test to confirm that, where we use a marker called an FSH. So okay. FSH is follicle stimulating hormone. It's released from the brain and it sends a signal from the brain to the ovary to release the follicle and ovulate. Okay. When our follicle numbers are reducing, the brain sends more signals to the ovary to say, hey, why aren't you releasing an egg? What's going on? The levels rise, and so that's what we can see in the bloods.
Ah, okay.
So for example, a younger patient, so say a woman who's in her early 40s and her periods have stopped, an FSH is a really useful marker to see, is she in early menopause or not?
Okay.
But a woman who's still having regular periods will probably have a normal FSH.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. Another question I would have is, what could women do to help them through that whole quagmire of menopause? You know, some may want to go the medical route, and others may not. And what, I suppose, is helpful helpful for them to see their way through?
So when looking at the management of menopausal symptoms, we should be looking first and foremost at what the patient can do for herself. So in terms of lifestyle, what are the things that she can do so she can kind of take the situation into control? And so exercise is really important. We know that exercise is great for mood. It's important for cardiovascular health. It has bone benefits. So regular weight-bearing exercise is really important for women. Making sure that she's getting enough sleep, so good sleep hygiene, keeping your phone out of the room, going to bed at the same time every night, not having coffee too late in the day, all of those things are important. From a diet perspective, it is a time when women notice a change in their weight and they tend to start gaining weight around their middle, and it's more difficult to lose the weight. So it seems that a Mediterranean type diet is very beneficial for women in perimenopause and menopause. Sadly, Mediterranean is not pasta and wine.
Yes.
It's fruit and veggies and whole grains and lean proteins and things like that. And then meditation and mindfulness can be incredibly important as well. And we've got really good evidence for things like cognitive behavioral therapy for reducing hot flushes. So we know that there's a mind aspect to this. I think it's important for women to be aware that there are things that they can do within their control, but those things may not be enough.
Yes,
so if they're doing all those things and still not feeling right, they should have a chat to their GP to see if there's something else that they could be looking at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's very fair. But that's very interesting though. You know, they can do a certain amount themselves, but if they feel that they're not getting 100%, they really do need to talk to their GP and have that conversation.
Definitely. A lot of women ask me about supplements as well. What should I be taking? What's helpful? There are a couple of supplements which have been shown to help with the menopausal symptoms, especially sage is good for hot flushes and night sweats. It seems to have, it doesn't have a long-lasting effect. So it seems to be quite effective initially, and then that effect wears off.
Okay.
Vitamin D is important because, sadly, we don't get a lot of sunshine in winter, and we need vitamin D for our bones. Omega-3s can be helpful as well, but there's no magic supplement which will kind of cure all the symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
It's more to support your health through this next phase of your life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Great. So Genevieve, that has been really, really informative. I think it's been really informative both from a breast cancer community point of view, but also from a just general women's health. And I think, you know, years ago, and even not even years ago, but there has been a kind of a stigma about menopause. You know, we don't talk about the hot flushes. We don't talk about all the other signs and symptoms. As you said, there's 40. But we just, women in general, just trundle on and get on with it because we've all busy lives and, you know, we don't want to be the nag or be the one that is not only have you gone through life with periods every couple of weeks and been an absolute, you know, rip, but now you are also going into this other stage of life. It just seems never ending. However, there really is light there, light at the end of the tunnel, whereby women just need to talk about it and support each other. And, you know, to have places like the Menopause Hub is a great resource for people to just check in and say, listen, I don't feel 100%. I do get a bit hot. I'm a bit irritable. You know, what should I do and what can I do? And life can become so much easier once you talk.
Yeah, exactly. I think you've summed it up really nicely. Every woman will go through menopause, but not every woman has to suffer because of her menopause. Mm-hmm. And the more that we start talking about it to our friends, to our sisters, to our partners, making it, you know, it's a normal part of our biology, so let's make it a normal part of our conversation.
I think
and
so.
I think, you know, if you're talking to your friends and you say, oh, I'm not feeling great, they might help to guide you to say, I think you need to talk to someone. And yeah, just to have that support and awareness mm-hmm. can make such a big difference mm-hmm. in your journey.
And I know you're very keen on women and the workplace and workplace, you know, understanding and standing shoulder to shoulder with women, especially of this age, who are, you know, in careers, who really want to get along, but who, you know, we have to be understanding that you might have a bit of an off day, or you might be very short with somebody, you know, when it's not expected. And that there just has to be that sense of, well, this is life and this is normal for women. You know, there is no sticker or stigma. It is just what women have to go through.
Yeah, exactly. And interestingly, studies have shown that 50% of women consider leaving their work because of their menopausal symptoms. So just the awareness at work of, okay, how can we support our employees who are going through this so that they can retain women who obviously have years of experience, they're probably in really good positions, and they start questioning their ability to do their job because of their symptoms. Mm-hmm. And so if we can just support them through that, we can keep those women in those positions.
Mm-hmm. That's very interesting. I think there will be more and more, and I hope there will be more and more companies as part of their CSR strategies, not only looking after, you know, good mental health and good breast health and good all the other, you know, nutritional health, but also menopausal health. As you say, if you've invested this much in staff and you want to engage with your staff and keep them engaged longer term, then this is a nice way to do it.
Definitely.
So Genevieve, thank you so much for joining us today. I think you've given a lot of information, a lot of food for thought for lots of people across the spectrum in relation to menopause. So thank you very much for joining us on More Than a Lump.
No problem. Thanks for having me, Aisling.
This episode of More Than a Lump is proudly supported by CarePlus Pharmacy. CarePlus is Ireland's leading community pharmacy brand, offering expert advice and services for a healthier and happier you. You can find your nearest CarePlus on careplus.ie or follow them on social media for daily health and wellness tips.